Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right. Well, I get to do my absolute favorite thing in the whole world, and that is share the good news of the gospel with you today. And, you know, we have a lot of believers in here, but I love to go back to the first things I learned that caused me to believe. And I was able to be in an Uber the other day with a lady. And you could tell she had a lot of church hurt in her life and had been taught a very harsh message where fear was used as a motivator to get you to believe in Jesus. And you could still see the damage that that had done to her life. And I want to teach you the way that I had to relearn the gospel. God is good. He's good all the time. And the message of the gospel is good. And so another thing that I'm teaching right now, for those of you who have been in services, is how important that the precious promises of God are in our lives. Because it's these promises that we get from the Lord which are good. All the promises are good. They're yes and amen. These precious promises, the Bible says, they keep us going. Because between receiving Jesus and seeing Jesus face to face, there's a lot of living that we're going to do. And so we need to know the first promise, the promise of salvation. We need to have that clear in our heart. Amen. That's assured to us, not based on our good works or anything that we can do, but based simply on believing in Jesus. It's that simple. And I grew up, you know, where you had to do this and you had to do that and you had all these things that you had to do in order to be pleasing to the Lord. And I believe there are things that we can do to be pleasing to the Lord, but the implication was that you weren't eligible for these promises of God unless you did all these things just right. Anybody else grew up like that? And so many times we disqualify ourselves for the promises of God based on what we do instead of based on what Jesus did and what he already did. And the good news, as I start to lay this out for you, is that Jesus was judged for sin, your sin, my sin, the sins of the world. He was judged so that we won't be judged. So I want to encourage you today. I may not get through all 11 of the my favorite precious promises of the Lord. And so I don't want to do this backwards because, look, I can read you my 11 precious promises from the Lord, and that'll make you want to receive Jesus, let me tell you. But I don't want to dangle that carrot in front of you first. The most important thing that we should do is receive Jesus out of a purity of heart, not based on all the blessings we're going to get, right? But just because we know we need him as Savior and Lord. How many of you want somebody to love you based on just what you do for them and not for who you are as a person? And so we start there. So number one, believing or having faith in Christ gives you eternal life, makes you righteous. It makes you righteous, believing in him, and it qualifies you for the precious promises of God. So we're going to start there with just belief, right? Philippians 3:9, and this is Paul saying, and may I be found in him, Christ. May you be found in him. That's my prayer. Believing and relying on him, Christ. not having any righteousness of my own, derived from my obedience to the law and its rituals, but possessing that genuine righteousness, which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God the Father, on the basis of faith in his Son. That's a powerful scripture. So anytime we start thinking, well, I did all these right things and I'm so righteous, the Bible says all that is like filthy rags. None of it. No good work, no obedience to the law, no obedience to disciplines and rituals is enough to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I always feel sorry for those people that are going out beating on doors and sitting out in the cold, and you know they've got to tally all the people they've witnessed to, and if they don't witness to enough people, they're not going to get in. If all of our witnessing and all of our good deeds could get us in, our Savior would never have had to come and be sacrificed on a cross as a sinless sacrifice for us so that we could be made righteous by that one act of faith. And that's it. This is the simplicity of the gospel. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he said, he, Dad, Father God, made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf. Now, I just want to break this one down. You see that word judicially? This was a court case in heaven where someone had to be judged for the sin of the world. And Christ signed up for that before he ever took on a human suit and said, I will go and I will bear the judgment that belongs to every one of us in this room. So he judicially became sin on your behalf and my behalf so that in him, and how do we get in him? By believing in him. So that in him, we would become the righteousness of God, that is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by going to Bible study, by signing up and being on the prayer team, by going out and knocking on doors and handing out tracts, by doing penance, by giving all your goods to the poor, by doing all of these good deeds. It doesn't say that, does it? We get to become righteous and accepted by him based on his loving kindness. Woo! It's just based on love. If we could ever get that around our head. It said that the word also says, while we were enemies of God, and we all are in our sinful state, the sin is something that has to be dealt with. It says, well, we were sinners, and we were not reconciled to him, and we didn't love him, and we didn't care about him, and we didn't even know he loved us. That while we were in our worst state, he loved us. And he sent the Holy Spirit to begin to woo us to his heart. If we could ever just get this around our head, the enemy comes and accuses, you didn't do right today. You're not acceptable to him. You didn't talk right. You didn't think right. You didn't do right. Because he's always trying to point the responsibility of your acceptance back to you. And I feel the anointing so strong. He's wanting to silence all of that chatter in your life and for you to come into a place of confidence where you know I'm complete, I'm accepted, I'm loved, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I have eternal life, but I also qualify for the abundant life that my Lord died to give me. And on my worst day, if he loved me before I ever even knew he loved me, on my worst day as a believer, I'm still a son. I'm still a daughter. I'm still a royal heir. I still have access to everything that heaven wants me to have. It'll make you live confident. It'll make you live in love. It'll make you live with a glow, like a love glow on your life. Love you, Timmy. And Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples and all those listening at the end of his life, right before he went to the cross, I've heard this preached in such a wrong tone. He wasn't being coy or cocky or just like, they'll go to hell. He was aching when he said this. He said, then these unbelieving people, they'll go away into eternal punishment. But those who are righteous and in right standing with God will go by his remarkable grace into eternal life. And he had an ache in his heart, and he was saying, they're going to go there because of their unbelief. And he was still putting out the olive branch. He was still saying, come unto me, all you who are weary. Come unto me, all who will listen. Come to me. And I will give you rest, and I will give you life. And he's continuing to lay it out there. But this is the reality, that this is the separating line. You're either going to believe him or you're not. And based on that, you're going to go one of two places. And I was headed to the wrong place at one point in my life. And I tell you what, there came a day where it wasn't a church service with mood music and all this wonderful worship. It was none of that. It was a broken girl who had rejected religion again and again and again, who knew she needed the man Jesus. And he met me in the worst place. And he said, I love you. Will you believe in me? Will you say yes to me? And I said yes to Jesus. And everything changed. And from that moment, I turned everything over to him. And I said, for the rest of my life, for whoever will listen to me, I will spend the rest of my life telling people about him, because I want everyone to join me where I'm going. Amen? I do. None of us, and I'm going to heaven. I hope all your relatives are going to heaven. But it's a simple message. No one, point two, can be righteous without the blood of Jesus, paying for their sins. The Bible says there's no remission or removal of sin without the blood. And it had to be sinless blood. So our Savior, because of the blood of Jesus, he's made us right with God. By faith, we can take hold of all the precious promises and the benefits that the Word of God says that righteousness will bring to our lives and families. The precious promises of God are a gift of grace, not the result of our works. In Romans 3, 23 through 26, and I'm reading from the easy-to-read version. I love this. It says, all have sinned and are not good enough to share God's divine greatness. Other versions said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But they are made righteous with God by his grace. This is a free gift. They are made right with God by being made free from sin through Christ Jesus. God gave Jesus as a way to forgive people's sins through their faith in him. This is the good news. God can forgive them now because the blood sacrifice of Jesus pays for their sins. God gave Jesus to show that he always does what is right and fair. He was right in the past when he was patient and did not punish people for their sins. And in our own time, he still does what is right. God worked all this out in a way that allows him to judge people fairly and still make right or righteous any person who has faith in Jesus. I love it. So the free gift of eternal life, redemption from hell, and the curse of sin is all available through Christ. The covenant blessing of Abraham is available to all of us who trust in Jesus Christ. And no one is exempt or disqualified from the precious promises of God unless they choose to reject Jesus. And I pray no one under the sound of my voice does that. I don't know who you are. I don't know who everyone is. I don't know who you are that's watching this. You may be in an archive somewhere watching a message a year later, but I want you to know you've been prayed over. You have been prayed over. And there has been so much that's been spoken over your life, and the Holy Spirit is wooing you like he did me to make a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not join a religion. Not join some organization. To receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. In Galatians 3, it says this: Christ purchased our freedom. I love this. And redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs crucified on a tree, a cross. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might also come to the Gentiles, so that we would all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. I love that verse. Because when you receive Christ, the curse of sin is broken off of your life. And never again, for the rest of your life, can anyone, not a witch, not a warlock, not the devil himself, curse your life. That's the good news of the gospel. The curse has been broken. Christ took it upon himself when he hung on the tree. And from the moment you receive him, you have eternal life. The blessing that was promised to Abraham comes upon your life. That is the blessing of healing, the blessing of prosperity, the blessing of protection, the blessing, and I could go down the list. It comes upon your life, and if you could ever just see yourself the way heaven sees you, you would wake up every day and tell the enemy where to go. Amen? The blessing is ours, but we can block the flow of the blessings coming into our life by one thing, and that is unbelief. Ignorance leads to doubt. The more ignorant you are, the more you doubt. And once you get into doubt, if you don't do something about that, unbelief will set in. Doesn't forfeit your salvation. But everything we receive from the Lord, and I'm going to go through this list really quick, it comes through faith. Salvation comes through faith and everything else. So when I read this to you today, and I just wanted to bless you up real good before we get back out there. I don't like people coming to my service and leaving more messed up than they are blessed up. Amen? Here's these promises. You will flourish regardless of the spiritual or economic climate of this world. And if anybody wants this outline, just email me at soulharvestwc@yahoo.com, and I will get you my outline, okay? So the scriptures are there. This is a great Bible study. Go and look them up. The second one is that your children will surely be rescued, delivered, set free, and blessed with prosperity and influence. Those are promises. Look at all those scriptures. We need to be praying these things over our children, not talking about how bad they are and how far off they are. I want to encourage you that when I was way off, I was the prodigal daughter that was way off. My mom had these scriptures and she was declaring, devil, this is my promise from the Lord, and you will take your hands off of her, and she will serve God, and she will come back to the fold, and she will stand in her anointing, and she will fulfill the calling on her life. And we need to know what these are, and we need to speak these things over our children. These are powerful promises. Amen? The third one is that the Lord causes whatever you do to prosper and come to maturity because he approves your way. It goes well with you and your cities rejoice because of your presence and leadership. I think more people in Modesto need to actually know who they are in the Lord and stand up and start saying, I'm a blessing to this city because my feet are on this ground and because I occupy territory in this place. Amen? I guess starting to preach. They might hear me in the parking lot. Number four, God's eyes are over you. His ears are open to your prayers, and he will vanquish. I love that word. He will destroy your enemies. Those are some good promises. I love it. Number five, God blesses you and his favor surrounds you as with a shield. I love it. You need to get up every day. Don't be bashful. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. I'll let you think on that one. Amen? There needs to be a boldness and a confidence that we have in the Lord and say, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank him. Think about that. You got favor surrounding you. That means, you know, the devil tries to knock you around, you still got favor over there. All the way around you, you've got favor. Number six, you escape God's judgment and wrath. You have eternal life and are continually wrapped in his ever-laughing love. Ever-laughing love. His everlasting love and mercy. I love it. Don't you like it that his love and mercy, they outlast every painful season. They're with you and they outlast everything. Love it. Love it. Love it. Number seven, when you cry, the Lord hears you. He delivers you out of all your troubles and gives you double for your trouble. He brings you into the secret place of his presence and hides you from the conspiracies of man and the strife of their tongues. Oh, I like that one. Because when you are hearing that demonic chatter and all that's going on, just go get with the Lord in the secret place. I love that David would say that. He said, Lord, you hide me from the strife and all the conspiracies and all the demonic chatter. That's a good one to look up. Number eight, no matter what age you are, you will not be abandoned and you will never have to beg for bread. Love it. Number nine, you inherit the land. Almost done. God will withhold no good thing from you. That's number 10. And I sow that one constantly. Because I'm like, when bad things are happening, I always tell the enemy, you know what? That's just because more good things are on their way. Because God does not withhold any good thing from me. I look for the good, even though the bad's happening. I focus on that. And in every season, God has been so good to me. And this is the final one. Number 11. All things will be added to your life because you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Isn't that wonderful? And that is just I love this, the number 11. I have a thing with 11s. And so I just put 11 of them together. But I could go on and on and on. I have a stockpile of so many promises. I've got promises for wealth. I've got promises for health. I've got promises for family. I've got promise for relationships. I've got promises for deliverance in painful seasons. I've got promises of peace. I've got promises of joy. I've got promises of hope. I've got promises that will take me all the way into eternity where I will bow before his throne forever and ever and never be silent, saying thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. And this life is but a vapor. It is a flash. And it seems so big. And we go through painful seasons. But I wanted to tell you today that no matter what you are going through, you have a Father that loves you. And his love will outlast every storm. His goodness will be with you every day. I always say no days are bad. Because every day is the day that he has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I pray you know him. Those of you who do, I see you nodding at me because you've learned. He's the safest place to be. He is our refuge. He is our rock. He is our strength. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the love of our life. And he is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. There's no one like him. No one like him. And I want to encourage you. Some of you may be as saved as Billy Graham, who is in heaven, by the way. And that man, amongst others, spent his life preaching this message to whoever would listen to him. But you may be as saved as Billy Graham was, but this is not the hour to become complacent and to forget what our assignment is. Our assignment is to share Jesus with everybody that we can, as often as we can, until the day we see him face to face. Because what he came here for is not just to make us all blessed up and give us prosperity and lands and all of these things. He came with an assignment, and that is to bring his Father the desire of his heart and to bring back to him the creation that he longed to create, to spend time with him and to love him, to get his family back. Let's make sure that in this season we do everything in our power to give Jesus the reward of his suffering. And I want to ask you today before I pray us out, do you know him? Do you know him? Not just know about him. I've shared enough about him right now for you to know about him. The only way to truly know him is to open your heart and say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I believe you were judged instead of me for the wrong that I have done. And today I receive you by faith and the free gift of eternal life. And if you've never done that, it's just simple. I didn't have mood music when I did it. I simply prayed a prayer that I'm going to lead you in. And from that moment, I knew, because the Holy Spirit's witness in my life, that something new had taken place, that I had been born again. And I want you all to just pray this with me. I don't know who's watching, but pray this with me if you are watching this or listening to this. Pray, Lord Jesus, come on, say it with me. Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Such a sweet presence. I just want to pray a blessing over you all as you go out. I would say, if you need prayer, our prayer team is going to be here for just a few minutes. You can always come forward. We always have that available. Father, I thank you for the great and marvelous gift of your very own Son for us. I thank you that your love is matchless in every way. It knows no end. I pray now as we leave, we will not leave from your presence, but with it. Lord, I pray that your glory would invade out there in the parking lot, all the way into the streets of the city of Modesto and beyond, to every heart that is watching and listening. I pray that you would ignite us afresh with your fire, Holy Spirit, and that you would help us to be the burning ones, the shining ones, that wherever we go, we would leave a lasting impact and a legacy of love for our Savior. We give you praise and honor, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.